The Supreme Court is leaving in place the conspiracy conviction by a military tribunal of Ali Hazma al-Bahul, who is Osama bin Laden's assistant. Oh no! What a shame. Whatever shall I do? I feel so bad for Osama bin Laden's assistants that they can't get pardons. And New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said yesterday, it's not good that President Donald Trump has yet to declare the opioid crisis a national emergency. You know it's gotten bad when Trump finally turns his back on white people, too. The Trump Report starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, you know we got bad blood here on the Trump Report.
From executive producers Maria Menounos.
And executive producer Maria Menounos also. And Phil Svitek. There is a lot of bad blood. Watch out for them. Welcome to Trump Report. I'm Christian Blatt at ChristianDMZ. We're keeping Taylor Swift very loud for the sake of AfterBuzz's number one Swiftie, Drexel Hurd, at the other end of the desk. Drexel Hurd.
I blame Taylor Swift for what happened at the top of the show.
What happened at the top of the show?
When that whole thing played over.
Yeah. That's true.
When bad things happen, it's because of Taylor Swift.
That, you know what? It's not entirely wrong. So you were saying before we started, by the way, and we'll get to Trump, but your wedding band.
They're the same people.
Taylor Swift and Trump.
There was a whole article about that.
Yeah. That Taylor Swift is Trump?
I brought it up before. Like, they have the same like mindset.
And they both dated John Mayer. But you were saying that... Your wedding band has a very short, like, do not play list.
Yes, and Taylor Swift is the number one do not play. I mean, you could play the Macarena.
Oh, geez. Macarena?
You can play Mambo Number 5.
Listen,
you cannot play Taylor. Like, I would much rather you play those over Taylor Swift.
I'm with you.
I like Taylor.
All Star. What is that band's name?
Smash Mouth.
Oh, man. Getting old. Or I'm getting younger that I can't remember Smash Mouth. Anyway, next to Drexel, Chelsea Galicia. At Chelsea Galicia. You can say hi.
Hi.
I got accused of not letting you talk, so I wanted to let you at least say hi. And making her triumphant return to the panel, Brooke Solis at Brooke Solis TV.
Thank you guys. Not with us
today, but in spirit. Scott Moore, follow him at SMan80. Just because he's not here doesn't mean he doesn't deserve your follow. He tries to antagonize
Mitch
McConnell.
He's the best Trump troll.
He's a pretty good Trump troll. And you can follow the show at Trump Report ABTV. And that's pretty much all you need to know.
Who are you?
I didn't say? Wow, I'm Christian Blatt at ChristianDMZ. And you know what? The only reason that Anthony wanted to make sure that I said who I was, is so that I say, and don't forget our friend in the booth, Anthony, at Tony B. Dead, D-E-D.
I mean, that's not what I said.
No, you were just trying to get the plug in. You're right.
But I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anthony actually produces most of the shows that I do here. I may have confused him with Steve earlier and thought he did all of them. But anyway, that's not why anybody tuned in. So we had bad blood at the top of the show because we're able to start in, oh, no, you didn't territory, which is... President Trump's feud with Bob Corker. And this is great for a guy named Corker, you know, to just get this much attention. Corker's outburst Sunday night to the New York Times, he suggested that Trump could lead the nation accidentally into World War III, which I guess for a senator and his party, I guess it's surprising, but I was just like, this isn't anything new. But I guess because Bob Corker said it. And then after that, he tweeted that the White House had been turned into an adult daycare center, which... I took to mean something else. I was thinking of more that it's kind of turned the White House into a hospice because everybody, it's just a matter of time.
Adult daycare center. Let's keep it with child daycare.
And my favorite part of this, and there's more, I'm just sort of giving the highlights for children here. Trump referred to Corker as Little Bob on Twitter. And how did he spell little? Oh, L-I-D-D-L-E. And articles I read quoting that did not even take a moment. And I was reading the Washington Post and somewhere, maybe Politico. They didn't even have the, I mean, we get it, it's spelled wrong, but that's really interesting. That's an important part of 140 characters that he spelled little wrong.
He purposely spelled it that way.
You know what it was? It was because he wants to separate the difference between Marco Rubio and Bob Corker. Marco Rubio got little with two T's. Bob Corker gets little. with two
D's. You know, now, when you say like little,
well,
you,
the here's, little. Whisperer? No, here's the thing. I mean, I'm not as great at nicknames as President Trump. I've never named anybody Rocket Man, but I would call him Lil Bob, L-I-L, because there's it's like, oh, Lil Bob.
That would be too black for Donald Trump. That's too close.
Yeah.
Too color.
He doesn't want to reach out to the color.
Right. No.
And then this sort of brought up the stories that President Trump had considered Corker for Secretary of State, but thought he was too short. Not the rapper Too Short with the dollar sign.
Making him too short.
He would. President Trump is already lost in this conversation. But he went with instead Rex Tillerson, who, as we know, has referred to him as a moron. But we'll talk about that later. So, Brooke, since you're next to me, and
I'm just reveling in all of it.
So,
yes.
Give us your thoughts about the latest Twitter. Give us your little thoughts about Lil Bob.
I just think that this week is so much fun. We got little Bob Corker talking crap on one side. Who else do we have? Oh, and we have his ex-wife Ivana, too, claiming to be First Lady. And there's beef everywhere, and I love it.
Well,
it's like a new Cardi B song. You wanna mess with me?
I don't even know who Cardi B is.
What?
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the black guy in the panel said it, because I'm like,
that's it. You know what? Just
I'm in my 40s, so that's my excuse for everything. I feel like Chelsea, you're just gonna throw your hands up at the whole thing. But let me ask this in a different way than I would usually ask it. Do you think it's beneath Bob Corker to keep engaging with President Trump? Should he just be like, whatever, this guy's not worth my time?
I can just imagine like the steam building in the GOP, and that somebody's got to blow, and it's going to be, I guess, him. I commend him for coming out and saying this, because even though he's not running for re-election, it's still a risk to have Trump come after you.
Yeah, and I think that there's been some conversation about, you know, a lot of senators feel this way. None of them have endorsed him, but you also don't have people denouncing him either. It's a lot of like, okay, mommy and daddy are fighting. I'm just going to sit here and look at my macaroni and cheese and just hope that I don't get dragged into this. Nobody asks what's going on in my state. So, and at this point, we're just looking for things that are entertaining. And little Bob spelled wrong is right up our alley. Drexel, do you think that this is important enough to have at the top of the show? Because I had to justify playing Taylor Swift for reasons other than just irritating you.
I think that that the feud within the Republican Party is starting to starting to bubble up a little bit more than what we had anticipated it to. It's a kind of crazy. And I talk about it all the time that there's no reason why this party should be governing. And especially when you have the majority. Like, this is a cakewalk. This should be a cakewalk for Republicans. And now you've got Steve Bannon coming out on Hannity saying that every Republican should be scared, that he's going to primary every Republican, that his group is going to primary every Republican. And you know, I think that this does not help Mitch McConnell at all. I mean, Bob Corker and that kind of wing. I mean, any beef with the president will hurt them, and I think will eventually hurt Republicans in the long run. Marsha Blackburn, I haven't heard anything from her yet. Marsha Blackburn is representative from Tennessee, where Bob Corker is from. She's running for the open Senate seat that I think Lamar Alexander is not running for re-election. So now there's, or maybe she's running for Corker's seat. So she has not said anything yet. And I think that's very telling to see where Marsha Blackburn, whose side Marsha Blackburn will be on, and what kind of senator she will be. And if she doesn't make a statement in support of Bob Corker, it's safe to say that she will be on the side of Steve Bannon, especially considering that Citizens United has come out in strong support of Marsha Blackburn over the weekend. So I think that's what people should really be focused on. That's happening in Tennessee specific, because Bob Corker is from there, is Bob Corker is a very powerful chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He's not going away anytime soon. He's not going to resign as Steve Bannon has suggested. And anything that the president wants to do over the next few months, Bob Corker has the power to not allow that to happen.
Well, it's an interesting point that you bring up is sort of, you know, everybody's kind of playing this waiting game and like, oh, what do I say? Who do I side with? And it's a shame Scott's not here because it deals with polling, one of his favorite things. And I saw an article, it was linked from Real Clear Politics, so I actually forget the source. My apologies, source. But it was that President Trump is having some popularity problems in every state now, and he's down, I think, at a minimum of 19 points from Inauguration Day. And, you know, they make a point. Larry Sabato from the Center for Politics in Virginia makes the point. Like, you know, it happens all the time that once you're in office, it drops, but this is very fast. And the interesting thing I thought, and the reason why I bring it up as part of this conversation, is that President Trump only has a majority of support, you know, where more people approve than disapprove of him in 12 states. And I think it's the wrong 12 states, because I guess you can probably, I could have Scott do the math if he was here. But I don't. I think if you win the right 12 states, you're almost president. But I'm pretty sure they're not those states. Right. So, you know, I think it's trending downward. And that's why next year will be even that much more fascinating, is because it's like you have, you know, the little like yip, yip, yip dog Steve Bannon, you know, like literally trying to bite your ankles. But at the same time, you're like, yeah, but people aren't really voting that way, you know? I mean, we don't expect them to. So you'd think it's a good time to be a Democrat, Drexel, in 2018?
It's always a good time to be a Democrat. But I think that what people have to realize, we just had John Chung on our show in the last Political Beat an hour ago, and he, you know, we asked him questions that Democrats want to know about healthcare and about college education and certain things. And that's the kind of stuff that people, that Democrats have to talk about. I'm glad that, you know, if this is Harry Reid, you know, we like Harry Reid for the legislative maneuvering chess playing that he was good at. But I feel like Harry Reid would have latched onto this and probably would have made fun of that. And this is not what this is. That's not the time. This is not the time for Democrats to be making, let the Republicans kind of invite themselves and kind of go on about the agenda. And to your point on polling, Donald Trump started the year out with 51% of rural Americans approving of the job that he was doing over the first couple of months. That number is down to like 47%, or I'm sorry, it was upwards of 60%. Now it's down to like, now it's at 47% of rural Americans. And that's going to be a problem for him, because we know that in the first year, if Republicans don't take care of tax reform in the first year, the second year, the Trump administration is not going to be able to do anything. It's the first and third year in politics where presidents can actually, or in a term where presidents can actually do something. And if Republicans don't get anything done this year, they're going to be lame duck for another year, and then that's going to be bad for Republicans and somewhat good for Democrats. And Democrats have to figure out how to message that piece to make it a little bit better for flyover and rural Americans. And if they don't do that, then the Democrats will lose again. And I'm not saying just flyover states, but just messaging in general, then Democrats are going to lose again. But I think this is always a good time to be Democrats, because there's not a lot. We have a lot of infighting, but I think that we're starting to figure out the groove of what needs to be done and put the right people in front of the cameras. And as long as they continue to do that, listen, I'm all for Bernie Sanders going on CNN Town Hall every week since giving something to do, and spouting the Democratic message and getting that message out there. And if that's what's going to take people to get to the polls, then do it, yeah. You know, and let the messenger carry that message. But do not underestimate. I would be very shocked if Republican voters allowed Steve Bannon to bring up a cavalry of misogynistic, racist, not so economically sound, and actually care about people candidates, and have them win across the country.
If Republicans are smart, they take this opportunity while they have someone like Bob Corker standing up to Trump and start siding with him and start, you know, having some balls and really start talking and standing for what they truly represent, which I think is not all bad.
Right.
Because I don't think that they're completely irrational in every single issue. And it would be great to hear more people. If they can just detach themselves from Trump, they might have a chance. I mean, his numbers are going down, too, as well, in the Rust Belt states also. And you talk about a second year. We're hoping that that doesn't happen and Republicans can pull themselves away and at least save some face. Y'all are looking at me like...
No, I only bring that up because I'm only listening because I'm like, I feel like Republicans are afraid that if they detach from Donald Trump, A, they'll get hit in the polls, which is not something they want to go into 2018 with. But at the same time, I feel like they think that Donald Trump will retaliate against them.
Yeah, but they'll be stronger in numbers if more of them... I think maybe they might be able to move more of that rational base with
Trump
them.
Trump or Harvey Weinstein?
But the crazy thing about it is Bob Corker said something that was really, like, alarming. Like, he said some alarming stuff, like, that the president has to be, like, corralled and, like, I was watching MSNBC before I came to the studio, and they were like, you know, President Trump's like a pressure cooker that's about to blow. Like, if Republican, and Bob Corker said, my Republican colleagues feel the same way that I do. Mm-hmm. If you feel the same way, why is it that Donald Trump is at this point in the game president of the United States, where Republicans
if the Russia
situation was not being investigated right now, we would be talking about the stability of the president of the United States. Right. And Republicans don't want to talk about, they're like, well, let's let the Russia thing happen because that'll be cover if we feel like we need to impeach the president at some point. Instead of, this guy's unstable and it's our fault. Let the Democrats bring him down, not us. But if we bring him down because he's unstable, that's going to be bad for us later on down the road.
Hmm. What did you want to say, Chelsea?
I was going to piggyback off of what Brooke was thinking. And if enough... normal Republicans, can I call them that?
Rational.
You know, gang up together. Mm-hmm. With the Democrats, they could maybe unseat him with the 25th Amendment?
Well, I don't know that they're looking at it in those kind of grand terms, either way. I
25th
think,
doesn't apply to Congress. 25th only applies to the Cabinet. Cabinet has to invoke 25th, and then the Congress has, to sign off. Congress can't do that.
Well, either way, to your point, that they could focus on getting rid of him, and I don't know that that's actually their goal. You know, I think the thing that surprises me more is that they... sort of stand idly by while he, you know, tries to bully them into voting for things they don't want to vote for, and then they don't vote for them. But at the same time, I guess they just figure like, oh, just let him do that. Let him, you know, it's like when you let your dog out of the car after a long ride. Just let him run around and chase his tail, and then he's going to be tired and he's going to fall asleep. He's probably going to shit himself. So, you know, that's probably what they figure.
That's what I was hearing is that the White House just lets him say what he wants to say, and it's like the kettle, like it's got to bubble up and it's got to bubble back down. Let him say what he got to say and then do that. And I feel bad for John Kennedy.
But I would think they'd get exhausted after a while.
When he gets all steamed up, hear him shout, tip him over and pour him out. And then it's all over. What I did want to ask you, Chelsea, was your thoughts for, at this moment, considering the climate, considering the, and I don't mean the climate as in, like, you know, climate change.
No, that's
I mean,
fake,
the
so.
Political, fake hashtag fake news. I'm talking about the political climate, the sort of the trending downward popularity. How do you think Democrats should really, what message should they be putting out there right now? You know, you want it to be simple, you want it to be something that speaks to people. What would you, if your friend Jane Sanders, whom you're very good friends with, if she was like, what should we be out there saying, what would you text back other than hey Jane, great to hear from you? What would you then follow that up with? What do you think Democrats should focus
on? You know, obviously this is the question of the century,
right?
I think. If this could be figured out,
it's like asking the meaning
would
of life
be,
right?
Yeah, things would be very different. And I think, I hope, and actually I know that they are working on it. But I don't know
what's best.
I've actually seen some of what's going to be recommended.
Okay.
And it's brilliant stuff. So,
are they going to finally get into the bottom, to the bottom of who killed Biggie? Because I mean, there's things that America wants
we
to know.
We all know. See,
I don't know that.
Both of them.
That's Brooke Solis at Brooke Solis TV. I would never say anything alleged towards Suge Knight. Anyway,
if it was personally,
Suge Knight out of prison right now. But
no,
we do live in LA.
Still in.
Okay, so yeah, it was Suge Knight.
Yeah, they don't let his son talk.
But we're
to
not
him,
safe
but anyway.
Even if he's in the prison.
Yeah.
Me personally, I wish the Democrats would stand up and say, "All right, we effed up. We said we were the party of the people, and then somehow, whether it's taking money or just this is how we thought we'd win elections, we started being quasi-Republicans and." Quasi-Republicans on the
Does
economy.
That mean elitist?
and you know, liberal socially, and we forgot about the base of America, and we're going to fix campaign finance. We're going to, you know, end the role of corporations in our elections. We're going to clean Washington up. No more cabinet.
Are they
going to
drain the swamp?
We got to find a better term than that.
Are they going to stop taking money from people who harass women?
No, they're politicians. Well, they'll take money from people who have money.
There are things that can be done. I wish that the Democrats are like, we are here to clean up the corruption in our house and in theirs.
I wanted to get a comment out of the chat.
Yeah,
the Demonaut. Well, I'll get to you in a second, but I didn't want to go. Demonaut points out Democrats will lose if they just talk about Trump. Absolutely true. I agree with that, Demonaut. If they just talk about Trump, but, you know, you can point some things out. Tell us how you will create jobs, health care. No one cares about Trump. Give us jobs. Fox the economy. Stay out of the wars. So that's a couple comments from Demonaut there. I don't know what the word fox meant there. It really threw me off. I'm like, what was he trying to say?
Fix the economy.
Fix the economy. Thank you. And that's not being a jerk about typos. I really got confused. I was thinking like Fox News, and I'm right. What is he trying to say? Fix.
We can't fix the economy as long as corporations are running. We have like giant monopolies. I mean, do you guys remember when cell phones had like 6-7 different carriers that you could... choose from?
There's like 4 or 5 still.
Yeah.
For real, there's like 2 big ones. Okay. And then, you know.
And then there's T-Mobile.
You're talking about carriers, yeah.
Not cell phone makers. Think of any industry. I was reminded of this because I saw a John Oliver episode where he's talking about, I mean, just in every industry from beer to makeup to all sorts of things that you would never think have been consolidated down into 1 or 2 ginormous corporations that control it. There's no competition. The little guy isn't going to try and compete with the big guy. He'll just be stomped on. This is the reason that the economy isn't going well.
Drexel.
Well, here, hold on a sec. The reason the economy isn't going well for everyday Americans. It's going well.
It's going really well for some people.
It's going up. It's going well for
America. Like, have you seen Rex Tillerson's portfolio? He's doing very well. Drexel, I feel like there were some things that you wanted to address. He's not a moron.
Who's not a moron?
You.
Also Rex Tillerson.
I mean, listen, I think that first of all, Democrats shouldn't be listening to Jane Sanders. which is fine. They can listen. No, it's not fine. But I do think that there are... I think that what people forget is that a majority of Americans believe in the policies that Democrats have been putting forth. It's not the policy... Democrats never, from a policy perspective, never wavered from the idea that helping Americans across the country is the top priority.
That's what they say, but they haven't been doing it.
But we're talking about policy first.
Sure.
I think, and so I think that people have to be able to separate policy from actual governing. And if we look at the way that Congress has been kind of laid out, the way that gerrymandering has played in kind of limiting Democrats' ability to actually accomplish things, that is that's something that people cannot forget. And so... if we look at 2010, when 2009, when Barack Obama got elected, 2010, Democrats spent a lot of political capital on something they felt strongly about in healthcare, where we all thought that, and how much time Democrats and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama, that trio spent in trying to accomplish something that had not been accomplished ever since Medicare and Medicaid. And so where Democrats may have tripped up is spending that political capital on healthcare and not being, instead of doing one big thing, doing a bunch of small things in a small amount of time. And I think now they're in healthcare. After healthcare, they end up losing the House. After that, they can't do anything. Barack Obama can't do anything. And so from a political standpoint, people have to remember that Democrats really were in a bind when it comes, Democrats have not forgotten where they come from when it comes to policy. If they are now having to figure out, Republicans had the House, Democrats had the Senate at a time. Now Democrats have to work with Republicans to try to figure out how to push an agenda. How do you do that? Now you got to compromise in a way that Democrats, more liberals on the left, might not feel comfortable doing that. But that's the part of governing. The part of governing is saying, the only way to push my agenda forward is to come to the table and try to figure that out. And so I don't want people to think that, from Chelsea's point of view, is that Democrats have forgotten that. They just have to govern. They have to be the grown-ups and say, I now have to do this with my counterparts, or we will be at a stalemate for the rest of the term, which is where Republicans are right now, because they can't even get their members in line to push the president's agenda, a president's agenda who controls an entire government. So if you really think about that, if you really think about Democrats aside, if Republicans who control a government cannot push a legislative agenda, what do you think the Democrats had to deal with when they were just the Senate and no House and the presidency? They just couldn't do anything. So I hate when people say, oh, Democrats have forgotten the little people, because Democrats have been trying to, if you listen to what Democrats have been saying and the policies that they've been pushing, they have not forgotten. It is just very difficult in the system that we're in to make those changes.
It is very different to say something and do something.
You can't do something. That's what I'm saying.
All right, here we go. How about this? You arrest some of the Wall Street guys. You, instead of giving the TARP money to the banks, give everybody.
But that's not a legislative. That's, we're talking about the government. We're not talking about what the Justice Department could have done. We're talking about a legislative fix for Democrats and Republicans to actually do
something.
People
got pissed about how the bailouts.
Yes, but that was a legislative fix that Barack Obama felt that the economy needed a push. And that's where Democrats and Republicans felt like that needed to happen.
People are pissed off that money went to the banks.
And you just want the economy to flop?
If
the Barack Obama had not pumped that money into Wall Street, the global economy would have tanked. You know that.
I do not believe that that's true. That money needed to go in. How about giving the money to people so that they can pay for their mortgages? Then the banks would be getting
the
their
Department
money.
Of Edu- the Department of the HUD.
Housing and Urban Development
did have programs to do that, but you do need a legislative fix to do that. Democrats weren't going to get that money from Republicans to actually put a budget together to do that. Barack Obama couldn't even pass a budget to get that money to Health and Human Services when you've got Julian Castro as head of HUD looking at it being like, yeah, we want to pump that money back into housing and mortgages. We want to put that money back out there, but we cannot do that because Republicans will not let us do that.
This is fun. It's like Brooke and I have a front row seat for the political beat.
Well, it's not that.
Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on AfterBuzz.
Drexel, you said, I heard you say many times, you know, Democrats are trying to push their policies and Republicans are trying to push theirs. And I think what we forget is that these are elected officials who are, it's not about what they think that they want or believe that they want, having been a part of Congress for so long, but really it's about kind of turning it around and listening to what middle America or your constituents want or what the majority of Americans want. And what we've seen now is that they haven't been listening, plain and clear, what these middle Americans want. So I think they need to kind of switch the script a little bit and start to listen to what middle America truly wants. And that's why we're in this predicament now. And I think, too, on the end of Republicans, I think for them it's more about responsibility, accountability, I think, in America, instead of handouts. And instead of, like you guys kind of talked about, well, why don't we just give them more money? I mean, I won't even get into how this happened with the economic collapse in 2008 and the bailout and all. And I agree with you 100% on the bailout. But I think that it's more about feeling empowered. I think that's where America stands right now. And, of course, there's this whole issue of divisiveness with race and everything as well. But that I don't think the Democrats are listening in that sense. And I'm not turning into a Republican all of a sudden this evening, although it sounds like it.
Right. And I think, what people cannot forget about the flyover states is that it's so gerrymandered that Democrats don't even have a chance of winning districts unless they get out to vote. Like, you got to come out in numbers to actually flip a district that's been gerrymandered to this extent that Republicans are drawing. I mean, we talked on our show last week about the Supreme Court, or last week's show about the Supreme Court case, and you're like, Republicans are literally drawing the lines with pushing Democrats out. Mm-hmm. And so people got to start thinking about why they would be doing that and how that's going to affect their vote down the line. Yeah, we sit in California. It's great. New Yorkers, that's great. Washington, all those big blue states that we love so much, they're great. We're safe. But middle America, to say that Democrats can't listen in middle America, Democrats can't even listen because they're not even there, you know, and they can't even get elected because they've been drawn out.
Yes, and I think all valid points that everybody made, but we are going to move on because I realize how little time we have left. I want to talk about Harvey Weinstein, and you'd think, like, well, what does that have to do with the political show? Well, everything, because conservatives have made that sort of a major issue over ever since these terrible allegations against Harvey Weinstein. I guess we have to say allegations. And
oh, no. There's an there's audio.
That audio
did
was
you hear the audio?
Right.
Well, I'm going to say allegations anyway. Because, you know. Because
we don't want Harvey Weinstein coming after us.
I don't want Bob Weinstein coming after me either. So, yeah, those are the two people I'm most afraid of are Harvey Weinstein and, of course, Suge Knight. And, you know, it's because he supported Hillary Clinton. So then it turns into this big debate about, oh, I see, so you're going to call out conservatives like Bill O'Reilly, like the tape of President now President Trump saying something that I won't say because there's a child in the room somewhere. You know, so you'll talk about those things, but you won't when it's a Democrat. So the kind of fun part of that is that Jimmy Kimmel got into a Twitter war with Donald Trump Jr., who was like, yeah, that's very funny. What are you going to say about Harvey Weinstein? And I follow a number of conservatives in the media, and it was all like, Harvey Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein. I'm like, why does everybody have to make so many jokes about Harvey Weinstein? You know, is it necessarily funny? I don't know. But Hillary Clinton has said she was shocked and appalled by these revelations about Harvey Weinstein. President Obama, his wife Michelle. I don't know that Bill said anything. I think Bill knows, like, I'm going to stay out of this issue. This is not my territory. Bill's like, but Hillary and the Obamas both came out and said it. And, you know, people have to, it's been talked about on these late night talk shows. And it's just, it's one of those things that it seems like conservatives are like, hey, why are you so hard on Trump all the time? This guy who is not president,
who's not running for office and is not trying to be on the news himself, trying to tell people how to vote.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they feel like it's the same. It's the same thing, you know. And it's I
might be the only one that's going to disagree with all of you guys, but she should have said something that day.
She should have said, "Oh no, no." She should have said something right away. But mm-hmm. I don't. You know, Hillary Clinton doesn't say anything without running it through a few people and, you know, sifting through. Like, okay,
5 days though.
Well, she's not as young as she used to be. I understood the point of, like, why isn't she talking about it? But it was a big story over the weekend. And, you know, only President Trump keeps the machine going all weekend.
So here's the thing about coming out and saying something early.
Early.
Unless they...
Or
when it came out.
Earlier. Yeah.
Is that at that time, there are allegations. And so you make you come up with a statement and you're like, if these allegations are true, but, and then, oh, so she doesn't believe the victims, right?
Right.
So you have to hedge, like, I don't want him to sue me for defamation if this is not true. And I also, you know, if I do that by saying allegations, and if they're true,
oh, all of a sudden the lawyer knows what I was talking about before. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Now I
but
piss
I can
off
also
the people
see
who
where
support
conservatives
the
are coming from, because when it has been conservatives and
I don't
she
remember
didn't
Hillary Clinton issuing a statement on Bill O'Reilly, by the way.
Right. I thought
she did not.
Did she?
I'll have to look. So, well, somebody in the chat tell us.
I would think that the Democrats are not waiting to be sure, and they come right
out.
Well,
here's the thing. I don't. Listen, Hillary Clinton, first of all, is a private citizen. She can do whatever the hell she wants at this point.
Yeah, she doesn't have to issue a statement.
She doesn't have to give a statement at all.
Yeah. But good for her book
if
she does.
Right. So. But here's the thing. I think that the other, to piggyback on what Chelsea was saying, the other part of that is Hillary Clinton becomes the story.
Yeah.
As soon as she makes a statement. And it becomes less about Harvey Weinstein and what does Hillary Clinton think. I mean, we saw what happened when she didn't make a statement. Could you imagine, had she made a statement that early, we talked more about Hillary Clinton, the media talked more about Hillary Clinton not making a statement than they did about Harvey Weinstein, what was actually happening. So if Hillary Clinton had made... I mean, it was about...
I mean,
about
Harvey
50.
Weinstein's
I
been
mean, but
all
it was
over
a,
the place.
Yeah, but it was about...
And more women are coming out.
Right, but today... But this all happened today. Hillary Clinton came out today, and now that focus has shifted just slightly, but it was like, when is Hillary Clinton going to make a statement? It's conservatives, when is Hillary Clinton going to make a statement? Fox News, when is Hillary Clinton going to make a statement? Nothing about what's actually happening.
Why do they care about what she
said? I said she.
Well, because she took money from him, and you know,
right,
I mean,
because
he was
one of
a big donor.
But he was not. But that's a timeout.
Did you just Zach Morris us?
Time out. Listen, Harvey Weinstein only donated like $2 million to Democrats across the board.
And, I mean, he spent...
This is like less
but
than...
But he hosted a lot
okay,
of her major...
But, yeah, okay, but $2 million is nothing for Harvey Weinstein. I mean, when you think
that's
of the billions of, billions of dollars he spent bullying Oscar voters into voting for marginal movies, Shakespeare in Love, you know, just off the top of my head.
And Paltrow did not give him any.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The non-political side of this is it's major stars who are saying it.
Right.
And, you know, once you start to hear it, you're like, okay, yeah, I guess Hillary should say something. But Lady Goth in the chat had a great point. First, they want Hillary to shut up. Then they want her to speak. Make up your mind.
Right. I mean, it's true. And Chelsea made a good point on the last show, which was, so here's the thing, and I think she brought it up just now. Harvey Weinstein is not a policy pusher. Celebrities aren't pushing policy out there. The fact that we're spending more time on Harvey Weinstein and the conservatives are spending more time on what Harvey Weinstein's money is going to, when it's not actually going to, like, changing policy, it's just going to help get people elected, or actual corporation money from corporations and money from the Koch brothers and money from these
people. He has
these
a
people.
Reason behind giving money to get people elected, though.
Celebrities don't have... What reason do you think somebody in Hollywood would want to push... Well, Harvey Weinstein doesn't have an agenda.
I would think that, so he's just giving money.
I give money. Do you, when you donate money?
I give money to specific individuals.
Do you push policy?
Of course. If I had the money to give as much as
he
does, I would absolutely push policy.
If Brooke was donating a $2 million check, I think somebody would be like, okay.
I wouldn't be giving it for the host.
Let's sit down with her and find out.
But it's not a $2 million check. It's $2 million over a course of time. I mean, $100,000. If you're not pushing, if you're
not
saying,
he's not going to push someone if he doesn't believe in what they stand for or what it is that they're advocating.
In what they stand for, but I mean, that's like saying Shonda Rhimes, for example, spends a lot of money on Democrats. Do you think she's pushing an agenda? Do you think she has an agenda other than
people get away with murder? That's what Shonda Rhimes' agenda is.
Other than pushing women's issues,
her ideals and her belief system are rooted in what Democrats stand
for.
Yes,
but to the point of policy, to the point of Koch brothers. Maneuvering votes, pushing money around, saying if you don't do this, you're not going to get this, that,
well,
and the third.
I don't know about maneuvering votes.
I just don't think that celebrities aren't A, that bright, and B, that.
And there are a lot of celebrities who do push specific policies. Well.
Yeah, but
mostly
social issues because it affects mostly Hollywood.
Acceptance and love, and,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
which
all
is
those
a great
terrible,
thing, but you can't
not,
see that they're
but
not
it's,
pushing.
But it's not. But it's not saying vote for this or you don't get my money.
Right. I mean, I can't say that.
I mean,
even now,
I just watched this guy on MSNBC, this mega donor, who was like, I used to give money to Republicans, and now I'm going to withhold my money because Republicans aren't passing X, Y, and Z that I want them to pass, and they failed on this, that, and the third. Well, did you not believe in Republican ideals at all?
Well, I guess he thought he had somebody who was going to listen
exactly.
to him.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And I just don't see celebrities doing that. I see Sheldon Adelstein, some of the other mega donors doing that.
Yeah.
But I just don't see celebrities doing that.
Yeah, and that's how it became such a major issue. And I mean, you know, Brooke does bring up the point that it took a
fight
little...
today. So
that's all right.
Hey, I got to bring some spice
because we got bad blood
to the panel,
and we got bad blood throughout the whole show. It wasn't just at the beginning. We got to just keep it going.
I just think that Hillary Clinton, as a Democrat, and the ideals that she stands for in the Democratic Party, that fact that she just ran for president and didn't win, she's still a public figure, and there's still the expectation that she would stand up for those specific ideals that she has beholden herself to. So,
yeah, 5 days or one day, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't
right,
make a
I
difference.
Mean, you know, I hadn't really thought about the fact that the story becomes less about, you know, Harvey. The fact that, you know, Ashley Judd has said this and Gwyneth Paltrow has said this. Oh, now Hillary's chiming in. You know, she's like, oh, well, here's what I think.
And then right. I would say, oh, here she is to make it all about her.
Right.
But
that's exactly what they said.
That, you know, it's somewhat valid about, you know, oh, how come, you know, late night talk show hosts aren't making jokes about it? But at the same time, I don't know how funny they thought it was, I guess, is what it came down to.
I'm sure that the stereotype is so played out that they've...
Yeah,
and
who's
done all the jokes?
So, you know, personally, I hadn't heard these kind of allegations, but you know what I did know about Harvey Weinstein? He's an asshole. He's one of the least likable people in Hollywood, allegedly. But
it's too late.
You know, it doesn't. You know, this didn't surprise me because it's kind of keeping in character with as much as I did know about him. But at the same time, you know, I don't know, because you hear things about people sometimes. You hear, like, I heard about Bill Cosby a good 15 years ago. I heard things like that. Not to that extent.
I mean, you hear things about Bryan Singer.
I've heard those things, too. Yeah. You know.
But it's certainly not stopping.
So just because he has that reputation, are you saying?
Oh, no, 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 no. I'm just saying that, like, that doesn't mean that this story becomes, like, okay, well, we're going to do a bunch of jokes on this now. You know, because I'm not saying that it couldn't possibly find jokes that work. But I can understand the decision of, like, okay, so this is a guy who has, you know, on the lighter end of the scale, just been harassing, and then some of the allegations are much more serious. It's like, do you want to make jokes about that? You know, it's a lot easier to make jokes about somebody like
full on.
Yeah, if you can make jokes about Bill Cosby because he was a TV dad and he was always telling, you know, black folks, you got to not have your pants so baggy. You know, meanwhile he couldn't keep his up. You know, and you just have all these things. You know, people who are like preaching and I don't know. I just, Harvey Weinstein's like, people are like, well, let's see how this plays out because I don't know if this is good for my career, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's sad. Maybe even some of these guys like Jimmy Kimmel are afraid to speak out against him because of the amount of power that
he has. Well, I mean, I think at this point, I mean, here's the thing. Once Harvey, I mean the timing is everything.
Yeah.
And Harvey Weinstein was pushed out on Sunday.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie and these bigger celebrities didn't say anything until today.
Yeah.
So they knew that he was, now that he's out, that's it.
They were like, okay,
they're
yeah.
like, great, now I'll support. I'm not as exactly. afraid. Yeah. So to that point of, where was Angelina Jolie, Gwyneth Paltrow, and all those celebrities last week, whereas Hillary Clinton's over there looking like, you know, you're like, oh, why is Hillary Clinton not saying anything? Well, where were those women that went through that stuff last week when those allegations came out?
Well, you know, Hillary's going to lose so many movie parts now. We only have a few minutes, but one thing I wanted to kind of end on was Vice President Pence went to an Indianapolis Colts game. And more than anything, the fact that he left because some players were kneeling during the anthem, that's just kind of, not even kind of, you're just being a jerk. So the Colts organization goes through all of the effort to have you there, and you don't even stay for the game. You know, you're just going to make this big point. Just stay home. You know, turn your have like a video of you turning the TV off during that.
Daddy told him to leave, so he's got to go.
Oh, I thought, for some reason, I thought you were talking about his wife for a second.
No, that's mother.
Yeah, that's mother. I know. So he's got daddy, who's Trump, and mother, who's his wife.
Exactly.
And, you know, I understand why the White House is just hammering home this point on the NFL, because it's so much easier to generate all this attention if it's that and not, how are people doing in Puerto Rico now? We haven't really heard the last week as much exactly. as we did. But I don't know. I think that, you know, Pence just going at all, it's just, to me, that's just obnoxious. You know, I mean, and he complained about, you know, people trying to talk to him at the end of Hamilton, and he won't even stay to watch a football team. I don't know how much he cares about the NFL. That's not the point. It's the amount of effort that goes into having the vice president at something. And you're like, yeah, I've been here for 10 minutes and I'm going to go home now. So
yeah, that was a waste
as
of money.
As Eric Cartman would say, screw you guys, I'm going home. But I don't know. We only have a couple minutes, so I don't know that we need to dwell on that. My final point will be something that I didn't expect I would ever say on the show. Poor Rex Tillerson. Now, the guy's trying to have like a high-level negotiation with North Korea. And we were going to talk about this last week, but we ran out of time. And, you know, he's trying to at least approach his job as a grown-up. And you think what you want about Rex Tillerson. And he's got Trump saying like, hey, don't talk to Rocket Man. He's totally sticking with that nickname, even though it doesn't work. It's a waste of time. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to do my job here. And it, of course, the media will focus on the fact that I don't believe he called President Trump a moron to his face, but he referred to him as a moron. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's fun, but at the same time, it's like, all right, so you're just going to just get in the way of people that are actually trying to do their job. And I know that North Korea has kind of been on the back burner because the NFL is the real enemy. But Chelsea, you, again, this isn't about Rex Tillerson, but what are these people going to do if Trump just won't, you know, he'll just basically contradict all of their efforts on a tweet?
I have no idea. Did they not know what they were getting into to be in bed with this guy?
Well, I mean, you have to figure they're, you know, I think when you're first in bed with him, you're probably like, oh, it's all right. But I mean, ask Ivana and Marla Maples after a while. And I only mention that because somebody criticized the fact that I mentioned his ex-wives a couple weeks ago. It's very funny that he has two ex-wives, two, you know, tabloid star wives from the late 80s and early 90s. So it's kind of funny to me.
Who started fighting amongst themselves, and somebody made the joke, you know, this is what happens when you elect a reality TV star, because then now we have the Real Housewives of Trumpland.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yes. We only have a little bit, about a minute, but Drexel, you look like you had a final thought there. A Jerry Springer final thought.
I was going to bring up the Ivana thing, because she's got a new book coming out where she kind of talks about raising, it's called Raising Trump.
Raising Trump.
And that was not a plug.
But, sounded like one.
But you know, that woman raised those kids.
Go read what happened instead.
You know it was her that raised the kids.
Right. But I think that Rex Tillerson, listen, we know why Rex Tillerson and Scott Pruitt and these guys took the job. We saw today Scott Pruitt talk about the war on coal being over. Scott Pruitt has no interest in environmental protection at all. Rex Tillerson came from Exxon. He is more interested in, you know, promoting his business and businesses that are just like him around the globe. So I think that the reason why we haven't seen a Secretary of State like Colin Powell or Condoleezza Rice or John Kerry, Secretary Clinton, anybody else, is because their focus was on global issues and advancing the president's agenda that way. And Rex Tillerson, I feel like his agenda is advancing his own agenda while kind of advancing the president's agenda.
Well, and I think those top
lack
tier,
of agenda.
Those top tier candidates maybe are going to wait around for a president that will actually let them do their job. And Brooke, I feel like I should give you a final thought. We only have a few seconds, but
I want to see Donald Trump and Rex Tillerson go at it in an IQ test.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes,
I will be there. I'll be taking the test alongside them, and you know, may the best man win.
Between Donald Trump and Rex Tillerson, who's the best man?
Oh goodness!
All right,
two birds of the same feather. Honey.
You can let us know. We will not be here next Tuesday because I'll be in New York, but the Trump Report will be back 2 weeks from tonight, October 24th at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. And starting with that episode, you'll find us on AfterBuzz's Comedy Network. That'll be our new home, so you're not going to find us where you have been. But you know what you should do? Follow at Trump Report ABTV, because we'll send the link out, and that's where you'll find it. But we'll be on the Comedy Network starting in 2 weeks. But don't look for us anywhere next week, because I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to be far too busy.
For an amazing reason.
Yeah.
That's true. My wife wrote an episode of Orange is the New Black, Hello. Which will be going into production. So I'll be going there with our son.
Cool.
But that's it. We're out of time. So for Drexel Hurd, at Drexel Hurd, Chelsea Galicia, at Chelsea Galicia, Brooke Solis, at Brooke Solis TV, I'm Christian Blatt, at Christian DMZ, and in the booth, at Tony B. Dead, D-E-D. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.